Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
You're listening to a man whose work is never done.
In a job like yours, even when it's finished, there's always one more thing to do.
And his job is to make your job easier.
It's a very difficult job, and the only way to get through it is we all work together as a team. And that means you do everything I say.
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
We're back, 34 after. I'm Jim Blasingame, and I'm glad you're here. Stephen Brill is our guest, and Stephen's been with us once before at least. He's the author of a new book called After, How America Confronted the September 12th Era. As you know, Stephen, over the years, he's been known to many of us as an outstanding journalist. He's founded a number of publications, as well as worked as others, as including Newsweek, and he's also been an analyst for NBC. And another one of his books is called, one of his best-selling books called The Teamsters, was written a few years ago, and he's with us right now. Stephen, welcome to the show.
Hey, how are you, Jim?
It's good to have you back on the show. Stephen, I'm enjoying your book. This is a massive book, and obviously I'm not going to say that I've read it all, but I've spent a lot of time in it, and it's really fascinating. Folks, this book is about a number of people. It's where Stephen talks about the lives of a number of people who were affected by 9-1-1, especially those who were close to it in terms of people that they lost, as well as people who have been part of the public policy issues following September 11th. Stephen, who would you say was the most interesting person that you covered in your book?
Well, there are a lot of... I picked these dozen or so people because they were so interesting and because they were sort of emblematic of all the issues. But one of the most interesting people in most interesting situations is someone who I think your audience can really sympathize with, and that's a man named Sergio Magistri, who founded a company in the late 1980s called InVision. And his idea, he was working at a CAT scan company, and his idea was to take CAT scan technology, and that's a technology that has sort of replaced x-rays, use it to check for explosives in luggage. And he got the idea after Pan Am 103, or whatever it was, blew up over Lockerbie, and we found out that someone had checked a bomb, had put a bomb into a piece of checked luggage on that plane and timed it to explode over Scotland. And his idea was, he was reading and hearing that the government was saying, well, from now on, we have to check every bag that people try to check into the cargo area of an airplane, so this can't happen again. So his idea was to have these machines that would do that through CAT scan technology. It's actually a little more complicated than CAT scan technology.
Mm-hmm.
And he raises a little bit of money, he and some other guys, and everything is fine, except the government loses interest, as governments like ours often do once mm-hmm. the headlines die down. Mm-hmm. And he's really struggling, and he's struggling, and then... at the end of the, I think it's 1995 or so, is when that plane crashed over Long Island, TWA 800, mm-hmm. and there was suspicion, it turned out not to be true, that had been another bomb and another piece of check luggage, and there's a presidential commission appointed, and Vice President Gore is the chairman of the commission, and they recommend that every piece of luggage checked into airplane cargo areas be... examined for bombs, and he figures, oh, this is great. He takes the company public. There's a whole lot of activity and a whole lot of excitement, and then guess what? The country loses attention again.
Right.
And he had sold, these things cost about $1 million each, and he had sold about 10 of them in the United States and about 30 of them around the world. The Israelis were buying them. Heathrow Airport was buying them. A couple other places in Europe were buying them, but other than that, he had nothing. And on September 10th, 2001, he had just completed yet another round of layoffs at his company. He had gone into the business of x-raying logs or CAT scanning logs to see if they had any impurities in them, because he thought he could sell that product to the timber industry.
Right, because the possible nails or wire might hurt a saw when they cut the wood up.
Yeah, you got
That's
it.
One of the things.
So he was doing that. He was just sort of flailing around, frankly, and he had he was based in Silicon Valley, and he had this big sort of warehouse-like office like all the other companies out there have.
Mm-hmm.
And he had literally cut the thing in half and subleased half of it on September 10th. And then he wakes up on the morning of September 11th, and he realizes that, you know, he's back in business again because everybody then focused on the vulnerability of aviation, and Congress did pass a law as part of the law establishing the federal guards at all the airports, requiring that all checked baggage go through some kind of screening process. And then his problem becomes the government saying, well, instead of us buying none of these things, we want to buy, you know, 2,000 from you.
Right.
The next year.
And we want them right now.
Yeah, and we want them now.
Hold on, Stephen, hold on to that thought. Folks, we're going to let Stephen finish this story, and we're going to talk about the new 9-1 commission, and or I shouldn't say the new one, the one that's been formed. It's got a report that's supposed to be out soon. We're going to talk about that right after these messages. It's 22. Stay with us. We're back at 17 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. My website is www.jbsba.com. Check it out when you get a chance. Don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter. Let me remind you about our show coming up straight ahead. Beverly Williams will be joining us. We'll be going over some of the success tips for home-based businesses with Beverly. After that, we'll be visiting with Alexis Goodsman, who will be talking to us about some ways to prosper in the 21st century using technology. And then Joan Pride, senior editor with the Kiplinger Editors, will be back with us for our weekly check-in with Kiplinger. And looking forward to getting Joan back on the show. She's been on vacation for a couple of weeks. Stephen Brill is our guest, and he's the author of the new book called After, How America Confronted the September 12 Era, which is available wherever books are sold and selling very well, I understand. Stephen, congratulations.
Thank you.
You were telling us about, you were wrapping up the story about the gentleman in Silicon Valley who had the X-ray, sort of the CAT scan technology, and how it became very popular on September 12th.
Well, that's right. The government decides we really need to check every piece of luggage that's going into a cargo bay. And then they put pressure on him after basically jerking this guy around for 14 years, saying, we really want to do this, we really want to do this, and he never gets any orders for this stuff and really gets overextended and is almost out of business on September 10th. They say, well, we want 2,000 of these things. The only problem is they don't give him any orders in writing. They don't give him any money. And he's got all these little subcontractors who make various parts of this thing.
Small businesses who need their money.
Lots of small businesses. He's one of them, but lots of smaller businesses than he who need their money and have been burnt before by him saying, you know, gear up, hire people, get your plant ready because we're going to be doing this. And then the government never came through.
Right.
So they're pushing him, and they're pushing him, and he says, well, I need orders. And now he wants to do this because overnight he's about to become a billion-dollar company.
All he needs is a purchase order.
You know, he's a $46 million company about to become a billion-dollar company overnight.
Right.
But he doesn't have any purchase orders.
Mm-hmm.
And they dicker around, and they negotiate, and finally in February he gets his first order.
Unbelievable.
He convinces some of the subcontractors, even floats a loan to get to advance some money. And to make a long story short, his company gets these things into the airports on time. They work. And all of our listeners who go through an airport, when you look and you see these big machines sitting in the lobby where luggage goes through on a conveyor belt, it says Envision Technologies on it.
Right.
Those are the machines, and that's the guy.
There are probably some people who are thinking, boy, he took advantage of this. But the truth is...
No, this guy deserves... He's been at it since 1988. He deserves every nickel he gets. He took a lot of risks and a lot of heartache.
We're lucky we've got him, aren't we?
Yeah, we're real lucky. I mean, the country, you know, works because of people like him. And the other interesting thing is that he's still in some peril because the government continues to sponsor research to develop better technologies because these things aren't perfect. This is sort of the, you know, these are the first stage of these machines. Obviously, the second and third generation is going to be better.
Mm-hmm.
And as I say at the end of the book, I'm betting on him to produce the second or third generation machine that is better because he's been at it so long. And I guess because I also think there's a God in the world that will that will reward work.
Yeah, well, small business owners wake up every day saying, if there's a God in heaven, you know, but sometimes it doesn't work out that way. But I'm with you. My prayers are going to be with him, too. Stephen, you mentioned something a minute ago. You talked about the complacency that we got after the after the Lockerbie issue and after the tower bombings and all that kind of stuff. It seems like our attention span in America is very short. We're like the children of Israel wandering in the wilderness. We continue to be backsliding and so. What do you think about now? Now, post everybody, almost everything that's done these days is, people say, since 9-1-1 this and since 9-1-1 that. But is our attention span slacking off again now? Are you there, Stephen? I think we may have lost Stephen, folks. Aaron, see if you can get him back on. Stephen was on a cell phone, but folks, so you may have heard some ambient noise there. But we'll get him back on. But what I'm concerned about is that you and I are going through our normal days, our regular work lives, and most of us weren't affected directly by the 9-1-1 thing. Those of us out in across America, we may know stories about what happened. Now, obviously, we were upset about the attacks of 9-1-1. We all are. We still are. I still can't believe it sometimes. But the issue to me is, are we still as diligent as we were a couple of years ago? Are we still as interested in making sure that this doesn't happen anymore? And what are we willing to do about it? And are we willing to – obviously, we're making sacrifices. If you travel by airlines these days, I promise you, you're making sacrifices because of the way you're being treated to get on the airplane. But in other ways, are we getting? I see people in the airports who are being impatient with some of the checkers. Well, it's not their fault. They're not the problem. We don't need to be doing them that way. We need to be more patient with them. So, but are we getting back into a situation where we're being complacent? And I hope that our government isn't. And I'd like to think, whenever we hear President Bush talk about protecting Americans, I hope that attitude is filtering down to his people, the people that Stephen Brill was talking about, who need to be doing business with these companies, who have the technology, who can prevent us, who can protect us from terrorism. See, I believe that we're not going to change a lot of people's minds. We're not going to change as many people's minds, and I don't think changing people's minds is what's going to stop terrorism. I think technology is the key. I think that's one of the main keys in making it unprofitable to be a terrorist. And we're going to talk about that. I think we got Stephen back on the line. We'll get him back on the show when we come back after these messages. It's 10 till. Stay with me. I'll be right back. Stephen Brill is our guest. His book is called After, How America Confronted the September 12 Era. Stephen, is there a companion website, or have you got a website you'd like to give us?
No, not really. If you could, obviously the book's available hotly and heavily on Amazon and BarnesandNoble.com.
B-R-I-L-L, folks, is the last name. Stephen with a V, Brill. And Stephen, I know you dropped out there on your cell phone for a couple of minutes, but I know that you knew what we were talking about because we were talking about
right.
The attention span, and I was saying that I'm concerned about that, and I wanted you to speak to that issue.
Well, I think it's the single most important issue right now, and that is, the president has a tough job, as I pointed out in the book. It's a balance between galvanizing the American people and scaring them. And the good thing about a feisty, free, open democracy is that people turn from one thing to another, and their attention spans tend to drift off.
Mm-hmm.
And you can see that in every single thing that's going on vis-a-vis Homeland Security. We're not, office buildings aren't checking people quite the way they did right after September 11th, and yet mm-hmm. there is diminution of the threat. And people don't take this stuff as seriously as they should, and I think that makes us a lot more vulnerable. And I really think that we tend to treat September 11th or issues in general as like we treat
a sitcom that's been on mm-hmm. too long. We just turn
exactly.
on something else and figure it's gone away.
Something we loved for a year and a half, all of a sudden we get sick of it. Let me ask you this question.
This threat has not gone away, and I think the president, the president's going to get conflicting political advice. Do you warn people, or do you sort of emphasize how much safer we are? And we're not safer. He's done a good job, I think, going after the threat, but we're safer, but we're not safe. And just to give you my favorite example is the issue of a dirty bomb. You know what a dirty
mm-hmm.
bomb is?
Yep.
Where you take a real explosive and you put some radioactive material that you can
right.
basically steal from a dentist's office into
right.
the explosive.
It's not an atomic explosion, but it does
not,
spread nuclear material.
It spreads some radiation, not really dangerous radiation,
mm-hmm.
usually.
Mm-hmm.
But when the first responders get there and they have their radiation detectors on, they go off. And unless the president talks to the American people about this now and explains the real facts about how it's not a danger, that, you know, it may mean 100 people, extra people in a city die in a city of a million die over a period of 10 years, not thousands, not hundreds of thousands.
Right.
If you want to stop 100 people in a big city from dying over the next 10 years, you can get them to wear seatbelts or go to
right.
an apartment building and get people to quit smoking.
Exactly.
But that's a conversation that President Tom Ridge and leaders have to have now, because if he tries to have that conversation from the Oval Office in a speech at 8 o'clock at night after a bomb has gone off at 6 o'clock at night,
right.
that's not going to work.
No, you're right.
People are going to be panicked, and that's an example of how we have to deal with this new reality in a mature way, in a way that Americans really, frankly, aren't used to, because we're used to dealing with the issue of the moment. That's what
mm-hmm.
cable television. And frankly, talk radio is all about. What's
That's
the
exactly
hot issue
right.
today? Let's deal with that issue today, and let's forget about everything else.
Mm-hmm. Stephen, let me ask you a question. The president, when you listen to the president, you get the idea that he's focused on this. He hasn't forgotten it. But my question to you is it trickling down? Is it getting all the way down to his people? Are they? Is the government itself, not the president, but is his administration, the government itself, losing interest?
I don't think Tom Ridge is, and I'm
right.
still very much in contact with him. I talk to him regularly. I talk to his people regularly. I don't think they are at all. I don't think the issue is with the people in the federal government who are charged with doing this. I think, for example, the issue is with the private sector. I haven't seen
mm-hmm.
big businesses doing much to protect their facilities. The chemical industry has been fighting efforts to force them to add some measure of protection to the thousands, literally thousands of vulnerabilities that exist out there,
right.
both in truck shipments and plants and all the rest of it. And, you have a sense that the day after the next attack, if the next attack is someone hijacking a chemical truck and blowing it up, or if the next attack is someone with a suicide bomb in a train station, there's going to be all these recriminations. Why aren't we doing this? Why didn't
right.
we do this? How could we have forgot about this?
Mm-hmm.
And everybody's going to be right, but we should be thinking about that stuff now, because these vulnerabilities are obvious. Everybody knows what they are.
Stephen, I'm going to have to stop you because we come up on the end of the visit. Thank you for being here. We've got so much more
Great
to talk
to be
about.
With you.
Will you come back again and talk to us some more about this?
Anytime you want.
Thanks, Stephen. Stephen Brill, ladies and gentlemen. Don't forget, the book is called After, How America Confronted the September 12 Era. I think you'll enjoy it very much. Got to go for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners, because without your courage, hard work, and devotion to your dreams, America would not be the greatest entrepreneurial country in the world. This is Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and this program is for you. I'll see you later.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.